Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Morning, Northern California. How are we doing?
Awesome. I love the new jam.
Right?
Yeah.
It's about as California as it gets.
Right.
Welcome to the California Adventure District Radio Show. My name is Nigel. I've got my good friend, Mr. James Mazzotta from Enjoy and CAD and everything else.
Good morning.
So we changed it up. A little bit of Van Halen in the intro there.
Love it.
Yep.
Love
Van Halen. Little Panama.
Yeah. I already can see all the lights and the hair. And
all right. So good morning. It's the 22nd, I believe it is.
Is it? We are moving really fast. The month of October is already...
Already here?
23rd.
23rd? Okay, that's fine. That's fine, too. That's how fast it's going. So, strange day.
How about this weather?
This weather is is kind of crazy.
It is.
And normally, you know, normally spoken weather is just weather. But from what I understand, there's a big storm coming.
Yeah, you told me that yesterday when we were on the phone, and I thought that meant last night. And at our house, it was serious weather, so I was like, wow, Nigel's right on. But I also read this morning that, like, the big stuff is coming.
Big and stuff I thought, is coming.
Like, I was like...
It's kind of funny. I'm not quite sure when they decided to update or change the terminology, but now we have what they call a bomb cyclone coming.
Now, and I've heard that term, but mostly on the east. The only time I've heard it is on the East Coast.
Right.
So we're having is this our first bomb cyclone, or is this just a new terminology for something that's?
I don't know, but
severe.
Apparently between tonight and Tuesday, with the heaviest stuff on Sunday and Monday, there's going to be a lot of rain and a lot of wind.
Yeah, I did see wind, like 50-plus miles an hour.
And when you look around the world the last year, the weather's been nuts, right?
Yeah.
Lots of damage.
Europe was, like, not too long ago.
Europe's
completely
crazy.
Flooded.
China.
Being just torn apart.
Yeah, South America, Japan. Do you see that? That's some amazing footage in Japan where these houses just come down the hill.
Yep.
So, I'm not necessarily an alarmist, but if you are listening to this and you're not prepared at all, you know, now would be a good time to
go get a tarp.
To maybe go get a tarp and you know, check the holes and you know, do what you need to do to prepare, because I think it is going to get crazy. And I, from what I understand, this season is going to be nuts. But we do need to make up for it as far as water is concerned.
But the last couple shows ago, we talked about lake and levels and all that kind of stuff. And this is exactly, I mean, I don't know that it's going to do it. I mean, it could stop in, you know, the day after tomorrow and we not get another drop of rain for the whole season. But that's not what predicted. But I grew up here off and on as a kid. And like I had mentioned, back in the 70s, we had a drought that, you know, we were told you literally could take your Jeep and drive down the side of Lake Shasta and drive on the bottom and drive for miles looking for areas of water. And, you know, we were told at that point that it would take 20 years, 25 years to refill the lake. And that next winter, it rained so hard it filled the entire lake up and overflowed.
Right.
So, I mean.
So, in other words, who knows? Maybe Lake Shasta will be back to normal levels by Tuesday.
It's possible. I mean, a lot of water has dropped already.
So, from what I understand, there's been some damage, some weather-related damage overnight.
Yeah.
And so,
feel
free to call and share if you or join us on the text.
Yep.
And let us know
chat room.
How you're doing on the chat room. So the phone number here is 605-4567, and you can go on the chat room, kcnr1460.com.
Yeah. Well, I know last night my son, two of my boys work at Dutch Bros, and they did a haunted house. So every year the Reznor family gives the kids time to go out to the warehouse and convert it into a haunted house for the company. And they did that last night, and I went out there, and it's pretty amazing. There are a lot of very visually talented young people that work for them, and
yep.
It was mind-blowing what they've created out of a warehouse for it. But when my son was done and was on his way home at something like 10, 11 o'clock last night, he called and said, the power is out at our shop on 273. So I'm sure it was weather-related. And they were, once that happens, they have to rush to this location and unload the fridges and take everything to a centralized location to keep all the cold so that, the milk products don't spoil.
So just think, this is pre-bomb cyclone.
I know.
Right? Uh-huh. So,
tragedy befalls before it even gets here.
So, because of all the fires, too, this season. We're going to have a lot of runoff, right?
Yeah, and I was looking in the chat room from previously. I'm not sure what hour this was, but, it's obvious a long thread. It was talking and said, no, I haven't seen the landslide in Silverthorne Road. So
landslides, mudslides, torrential rivers, new rivers may be forged.
Mm. Well, and you have to be really careful because, even the current rivers, if you get a lot of runoff like that, you can get a lot of blockage, right? And then you get a build up, and then it finally breaks free and then causes a mass kind of flood.
But this is the first storm of the winter.
Yeah, and the ground usually in the first storm of the winter is very parched, but for some reason it takes a little while before the soil starts to uptake.
That's right.
You get a lot of runoff because it's so hard on the surface it doesn't know what to do with it. So
I
was talking to you this morning before we started. I mean, there must have been a lot of water the last couple of days, because when I walked out this morning, it's the first time I've really seen my street. It looks as though, like,
they actually cleaned it.
I mean, there's nothing. I mean, not a leaf, not a rock in the street or the gutter. Usually we have, our road is an older road, and it always has rock debris.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing. It's almost like a machine came by and scrubbed it all clean. I've never seen it like that.
Yeah, at the mall, some of the stores are getting ready too for the rain.
Yeah,
not always the best roof.
I was going to say, we found a leak this last storm last night that we've never seen before in our house. So
so enjoy. You just moved into a new building too, yes. So now you get to see if there's leaks.
So far, we've not seen a leak. The only leak we get occasionally is one of the apartments up above when the person doesn't close their shower door.
Okay, great. Very good.
So far,
so good.
Yeah.
Speaking of winter, this is so the winter season is coming, and so if you want some adventure you need a job, Mount Shasta Ski Park is hiring.
Oh, wow.
It could be fun to be outside, right?
Yeah.
One of the inquiries we get quite a bit through California Adventure District is any of the adventure companies that are hiring because they want to be outside.
Yeah.
Right? So
I definitely want to work in the winter, though. It depends, I guess, where you are in the summer.
Right.
If you're near water and in the mountains and the trees, you'd be fine.
So if you or you know somebody who would like a winter job, Mount Shasta Ski Park is hiring. And speaking of Mount Shasta Ski Park, I think they've had these on sale already, but now season passes and now on sale for the Mount Shasta Ski Park.
My kids already bought theirs, I think. They do a lot of snowboarding.
Right. Well, there's a lot of newbies in town now that moved here this year. They may not know.
Yeah.
Come January, February, Mount Shasta Ski Park is kind of a fun place to go.
It is.
So you can go to skipark.com, which is a great domain, right?
Yeah.
Skipark.com.
Right.
Right. And
he's telling me that because Nigel and I both love domains.
Yeah, we're both
domain freaks.
Domain freaks. Your Mount Shasta Ski Park season pass, if you get it this month, October, It's for regular adults, it's $4.49. If you wait until November, it's $4.99.
Okay, so, $4.49 or $4.99. Uh-huh.
And juniors, ages 8 through 12 or 13 to 17, it's $1.99 and $3.49.
And I can tell you it's well worth it if you go, right? Like my kids last year decided not to buy their passes, and they both complained that they wish they had because, you know,
yep.
It may, you know, they, when you pay it.
So I know a lot of new people moved here this year, mm-hmm. So we may want to address that. All yeah. Right. So this is the end of the first segment. Boom, 15 Light minutes. Speed. We'll be right
Bomb
back.
Cyclone.
Thank you.
Oh, that's fine.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
And now the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good morning, Northern California. We're back. California Adventure back. District radio show.
I don't know about you, but when I hear that song, I all kinds of good times come flooding back for me.
Okay, so I'll give you a quick a Van Halen story for those who
Please.
Don't know. Is that that was my life as a rock and roll photographer
mm-hmm.
For many years, and one of the bands that got me started was Van Halen. I remember I was 17 or 18. And my best friend in Amsterdam, I grew up in Amsterdam, we both started going to concerts, and we entered a competition in a music magazine to write a fictional concert review, and we both said, hey,
if you win,
well, you'll share the prize.
And you'll be my date.
And so he won. You know,
oh, wow.
He won, and the first prize was we got flown to New York to see and
From
meet
Amsterdam?
Van Halen.
Oh, God.
Madison,
How cool is
Madison
that?
Square Garden, the 1984 tour, so Panama, uh-huh. which was amazing. Still remember the record exec people giving us the backstage passes and the VIP passes, and they said, make sure you put these under your shirt because people will stab
Steal
you.
Them. Oh.
to get them. This is Van Halen heyday. And that was a great experience, a great show.
That's an amazing
story. To hang out
story.
With the band. And then, so, I mean, I was like 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so went back to Amsterdam, and I wrote an actual article, an actual review of the Van Halen New York mm-hmm. trip, and that got published in a big magazine, and then that's how...
That's how your life started. Isn't it
started.
Weird how your life...
That was
can,
it.
...can, like, I don't know, how do you even say that?
At
like
the right
destiny,
time, right place.
Or like... It just can take a life of its own. Like,
that's
you
right.
can take one action and the
Boom,
trajectory.
Yep. And so got to meet and photograph Van Halen quite a few times after that.
That's so awesome.
And a bunch of other bands, and so one thing led to another, but Van Halen was always a special case. Also because Alex and Eddie are still, well, Eddie's gone, but
yeah.
they're Dutch.
Oh, right? Really?
Van Halen.
Yeah.
So when we met them, got to speak Dutch.
Oh,
my native
yeah.
tongue is Dutch.
So they legitimately are Dutch. It's just not Dutch by name. I didn't even know
well,
that.
Well, Van Halen is a Dutch name.
I know. I mean, like, but just, you know.
They were legitimately Dutch.
Yeah, because I know a lot of van people here in America that are Dutch. But they
that's right.
But they're not Dutch.
No, I mean, they actually spoke Dutch, and it was great. So whenever I hear that song, it brings me back to Madison Square Garden and, you know, those days.
Wow.
It was great.
I know no Dutch, so.
Geen probleem, jongen. So that's my Van Halen story. Speaking of entertainment, Viva Las Vegas, baby.
That's some more news.
So starting January 6th, from Reading to Vegas. And maybe back again if you don't, you know.
Sometimes
what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Including you and your body.
I did live there for 2 years, 2+ years in Vegas.
I don't know what I would think about living in Vegas. I mean, don't get me wrong. Well, I don't know. There are times where I think it would be just a great fun. But if, you know, the visiting and the glory and the all the things to do. You know, once you move somewhere and you get in a routine and have to survive and, you know, take care of family and all that stuff, a lot of that goes away.
I will say this, that actually, for me anyway, living in Vegas was actually kind of cool.
It was different
than visiting it there. Because even though we lived there, didn't necessarily partake of all the crazy stuff on the Strip all the time. But just as a community, it was actually not a bad place to live.
Yeah,
And talk about storms, I'm telling you.
Yeah. They get them, huh?
Yeah.
It's like a monsoon.
That was nice. So anyway, so starting January 6th for $29 one way.
Each direction, yeah.
You know, from Reading to Las Vegas.
Yeah, because I went to the website last night and started to book, and then I was putting dates in, and it obviously wasn't after the January. I was like just trying to see what the cost would be and stuff, and it was like, nope. And I thought... It said $70, I think, and that must have been a round trip or something like that. So I was like, $70? Are you kidding me? That's like nothing.
Well, you know, I to be honest with you, I don't know how they actually are making money on that.
It must be a
quantity over quality thing, but apparently the quality of the flights is good too.
Yeah, well, so. I hope the maintenance of the planes are good.
They cut back on the maintenance.
That's the only thing I think. I'm like, $70? Did the engines run?
Well, that's why there's pedals under your seat. So that's a good thing. So we have a lot of flights now.
So we have now San Francisco, L.A., yep. Burbank, yep. Seattle,
yep.
And now Vegas.
Yep. And then we're coming to Denver. Denver's coming next year.
What the heck?
Yep.
It's going to be called, it's pretty soon going to be Reading International.
I know, right? Well, all you would need for that is a flight
to Mexico.
Here to Mexico or Canada.
And yeah.
You would be technically international airport.
Yeah. That's super cool, yeah.
Right? So do you plan on taking that flight?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, my wife asked if we could book some tickets now. That's why I got on and started looking.
That's great.
I just didn't look at what the dates were when they started.
Well, speaking of Van Halen, David Lee Roth is retiring, and his last show is somewhere in January
in Vegas
at the House of Blues. I don't know. No, I don't know. That would be the one. I mean, I can't even go to shows anymore for fun. But I just can't. But David Lee Roth would be, you know, he was always the, I wouldn't say he was always the greatest singer, but he was definitely the ultimate showman.
Showman, for real.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And he's still going and he's still trying. It's kind of fun. But so, if you want something fun to do, I don't have the exact date, but David Lee Roth's final farewell show is at the House of Blues, Mandalay Bay. And I think it's January. I think it's mid-end of January.
Huh. That would be, I know a lot of people. I'm going to have to spread the word on that one because.
Right.
I know a lot of people that was their band growing up when we were in high school. And,
right.
You know.
So if you're planning on going to Vegas.
Well, you can get there cheap now.
Yeah, let us know in the chat, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's raining outside, so there's not much to do outside right now.
Yeah,
so
chat.
So now you have to have the California Adventure District inside, right?
Mm-hmm.
Except I must say that I had some people inquire they want to go to Humboldt in the forest in the rain.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
That would be beautiful, actually, to be in the redwoods in a storm.
Right.
I would think it would be fantastic.
So a few weeks ago we had Justin on from the forest bathing and the KOA campground.
Oh, yeah.
And sent some people his way yesterday. People inquired, hey, we want to go to the forest in the rain. Where do we go?
Absolutely. That would be forest bathing For sure, you'd get wet.
That's a good one. That's definitely forest bathing.
Yeah, right?
Redwoods in the rain.
Yeah. I think that would be fantastic. And I would imagine, too, the ground probably doesn't really... it probably drains very well because it's just that big, just thick layer of rotting debris, right? So the rain probably just hits it and goes soaked right up. So
well, you'd be surprised how much of the rain the canopy of the trees
holds back, right?
Which is, so it creates kind of an interesting
bigger drops.
It creates an interesting environment in the canopy. So so that is something that if you are in the area and you do have something to do this winter. Or this fall, it never actually gets really, really cold over in Humboldt in the forest, right? But it's always kind of wet. And
you need to get a spot on the CAD website that people can upload their videos of, like, when they're actually, you know, doing,
do that.
Like, you know, few, you know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds of somebody, like, yeah, when we're on the show talking about something and then somebody listens and then they do it, being able to upload a video for people to share, kind of like
a
record book, right?
Yep, we'll do that. It's also the beginning of salmon season, which apparently, I'm not a salmon fishing expert, I'm an eating expert, but not a salmon fishing. And apparently when it's raining, this is a good time to actually go salmon.
Well, you know, and typically we still have water in the creeks and stuff that the salmon spawn in. That's why if you ever go to the Coleman Fish Hatchery and stuff, it's unbelievable. Have you ever been?
Yep.
I mean, the amount of salmon that are trying to choke... It's like that you could almost walk across it. What I'm excited about is we have a ranch in Cottonwood, and there's Cottonwood Creek, and we have one of the arms that runs right off the backside of our ranch. And we've owned it long enough to where we've gotten these kind of more normal, what used to be normal rains, right? And they're not so normal anymore. But when it rains and there is water running in the creek... it is a salmon spawning arm, and we have actually, you know, you just walk off the side of the where we grow our hay and walk down into the creek, and it's amazing. You'll see salmon down there spawning, you know, and you just look at them, and they're these massive fish that you could just reach out and touch. Of course, you know, we don't. We let them do their thing. We watch them, but very rarely do we get to see it because the creeks never have water running in at this time of year typically. But now with these big storms... I bet we're going to be able to go. I want to actually head out there and take a look and see if we can see a salmon.
I think it's going to be interesting. So this is salmon season. I'm not quite sure what the quota is.
I don't know either. I don't know. You know, they always report good years, bad years. You know what's really sad, though, is not to rain on the parade, but I know that there has been reporting coming back now that a lot of the salmon, I mean, you know, they tag a lot of them, right? So it's amazing to see their journey that... Here at Coleman Fish Hatchery, they'll release with a tagged fish, and they'll find them or catch them all the way over in Japan, right? But then they come back to spawn, and what's happening is they're actually having fish come back that have radiation burns and things on them and high levels of radiation because they've been over in the waters off of Japan and because of the leak.
That's a long journey.
Fukushima leaking, the salmon are irradiated with radiation.
Well, so that may be a good thing that they're tagging on them, because then you know which ones to avoid.
Yeah, I know, right?
You know, I didn't know that. We should actually get somebody from the hatchery on to talk about that.
Yeah, they come with these big lesions and sores and, you know.
So.
Yeah, I wonder if they have to have now like a Geiger counter in line when the fish come up so that, you know, when you have to get it out of the way.
Yeah, the Godzilla salmon. if you're looking for something else to do with your family, this is a little bit out of the way. This is in Dixon, California, near Vacaville. But we do
have... not that far.
Well, you know, in Southern California terms, it's not that far, but people here get freaked out when they have to go 15, 20 minutes across town. So Dixon, California, which is near Vacaville, we actually have it's open. It's the world's largest corn maze.
Wow.
63 acres.
Wow. You know... we have one here at the Haas Ranch, and I did it 1 year. And also, there's another one. I can't remember. I'm sorry. There's a second one that usually happens. They scare me.
Yep.
I get into them, and then I get, you know, it's dumb. It's dumb because all I have to do is just actually go in one direction, right, even if it's through the corn, and eventually you'll find the edge. But somehow psychologically, it freaks me out that I'm not going to find my way out.
Well, that would be a fun video.
Yeah, wouldn't it?
Great. Okay, so when we come back, I actually want to hit on a book that I bought and that I read.
Yeah.
About San Francisco.
Yeah.
California, actually.
Yeah.
So this may be a fun topic, seeing as how people are inside and you want to do some
research.
Some research. Yeah. It's kind of fun.
Get online.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good morning, Northern California. This is the California Adventures Radio Show. My name is Nigel.
James Mazzotta.
How's the store coming along? New store?
Yeah, so again, a lot of people are still asking. Actually, we're just basically across the street at 1261 Market Street,
old
Bullard Mart building. We're moving the Enjoy store in there. A lot more room. It's been a lot of fun setting up, a lot of work. We've had the doors open, just people coming in saying hi, vendors dropping off product, getting ready for the beginning of the holiday season. And surprisingly, we still have people coming in and doing pre-crate orders where they're coming in. And we had a woman come in yesterday and order like 8-10 crates, which was awesome. So that's a great order. And, we're letting people shop in the front area that's kind of set up because our register is working. But we're not technically open.
So you guys are doing are you talking about the Christmas crates or Christmas?
Just crates in general, but yeah, usually we do really well with our holiday crates and shipping and, all that kind of stuff.
Good.
So, yeah. So we're super excited to get up and running. And, before we left, we were talking about corn mazes, and our producer Jared was telling us it was Nash. That was the one that I couldn't come up with. Thank you, my friend, for cluing me in.
Well, good. Okay, so I want to bring something up. If you're stuck inside and you want to do some research, which is actually kind of fun, right? Mm-hmm. So this has been an interesting season with people questioning everything, right? And so, having been in California for 30, 40 years now, 35 years, one of the things that was always amazing to me was questionable was San Francisco. Yeah. And it was just
a lot of people scratch their head about San Francisco.
Well, some people scratch it for some reason, it's not for others. always kind of interested in the official narrative, shall we say, mm-hmm. right? So sure. the official narrative of let's say California, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the official narrative of San Francisco, for example, is that as it says, only lightly settled by European Americans at first, after becoming the base of a gold rush of 1849. So in 1849, it was lightly settled.
Yes.
Right? Okay. Lightly settled. The city quickly became the largest and most important population, commercial, naval, financial center of the America West. So in 1849, it was lightly settled. And the
census said
it was around 30,000 people, and census said around 1860 that there was 58,000 people living in San Francisco. And then by all of a sudden, you know, you had the gold rush, so they right, they wanted people to come out here, and then it went to 149, so it doubled in 10 years. but for me, there was always something, well, you know, and even as a kid, I remember even as a kid questioning, well, what if people actually came the other way, right? So mm-hmm. via Alaska. Remember, Alaska used to belong to Russia, right?
Yep.
And we bought it from Russia. So even as a kid, as a teenager, I always kind of questioned, well, what if, what about if people came the other way, right? So you can go.
Which I think historically is what they said that indigenous or native people did.
That's right.
Right. They crossed the land bridge.
That's right. That's right. Well, what if more people crossed the land bridge? And what if it was a lot earlier than we're led to believe, right?
Yeah.
So one of the videos that made me think was one that I just had you pull up. So you can go to YouTube and you can pull up this video. And there's lots of them, actually. But San Francisco, a trip down Market Street in 1906, right? So when you look at this video,
was 1906 also when they had the big earthquake?
This was right before the earthquake when everything burned down,
mm-hmm.
right? But when you look at this video of San Francisco in 1906, that is a big city.
Huge.
It's a huge city, right?
And it's as big as, any city even
right?
now.
Like,
when I'm looking at it.
Right. Right? So, you know, I mean, that could be New York. It could be, you know, Philadelphia, whatever. That's a massive city. And when you look at all those people are on horse and buggy.
Yes, they are.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In 1906, and it looks like a huge, bustling city. so when you look at that, you go, here in Reading, so it took 3 years to build that K2 building, right? Just the one building.
With cranes.
and power tools, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So this is 1906. This is before power tools even, right?
Yep.
And before readily available electricity when you look at that narrative. But you look at that city and you go, there's no way that 40,000 or 50,000 people built that city in 10, 20 years, right?
It would be hard to imagine.
Right. So I started going down the narrative.
But there is, as I'm looking, look at how beautiful this is. Right. I'm going to have to really watch this. This is super cool. So there are automobiles.
Yes.
A few.
Yeah.
Right? Like probably the very rich. No, that's a huge city.
But when you look at that city, so when you look at that building alone on the left-hand side, right? That's like a 10-story building. Now, that would have taken you.
Out of stone. I'm sure there's some wood in it, but
and that's before glass and mm-hmm. before the actual mass production of glass and all that kind of stuff. So you look at that city and you go, "There's no way that 50,000 or 100,000 or a city of 100,000 people built that in 10 years." Right? I mean, this
would be hard to wrap your head around for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So I know this is a little bit of a head scratcher, but then when you start looking at some of the other videos from that era, you look at at the Cliff House, and there's this little video from the National Archives, actually, of the Cliff House in 1904, I believe it is, between 1902 and 1906, there's a video.
I know the Cliff House, yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But there's this video it was taken between 1902 and 1906, and you see literally hundreds of people just dressed to the T's,
mm-hmm.
Standing on the beach, doing nothing, it's when you start to think about it, it's like a creepy, really creepy video. Like, mm-hmm. what's going on there? So I got this book, and it turns out there's quite a few of them, a different version of this. And it's called The Muscovites, or The Muscovites in California.
Yeah.
Or rather, Demonstration of the Passage from North America, how North America was discovered by the Russians, and of the ancient, one of the peoples who migrated here from Asia. And this is written in 1759.
Yeah, and I've often wondered that. I mean, Russians are very hardy, explorative people, right? And if that was part of their country, they obviously had came across to it at some point to own it, right? You just don't go point your finger and say, that's ours.
You kind of got to go.
And then, and so then you go down the rabbit hole of all the ancient maps, and which is kind of a fun thing to do, and you get into these illustrative maps from the 1700s, and lo and behold, here's a map from 1740, and lo and behold, there's San Francisco, right? It's already on the map, which is kind of interesting. So anyway, I know this is a little bit of an off topic, but it is California, right?
Yep.
And this is totally related, I believe, to our area. And if you want something to research, getting into the actual narrative of the alternative history, as it is said, about California and how it started, it's kind of an interesting topic. Same thing with LA, right?
Yeah.
So once you go down this rabbit hole of San Francisco, you realize that that city was already here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
That was already here. That wasn't built in 10, 20 years.
It's something that you definitely would question.
Right. So there's that. I just wanted to share that with you, that if you wanted something to do, and this is the season where
I'm enthralled, sorry, so I know I've got my back turned to you. I'm totally sucked into this video. Because, well, one, it's an old video that they've gone, obviously, through and colorized,
yes,
right?
Yep.
But it's done very well.
Yep.
And
well, you can look at the original. The original, yeah. The original's there.
So if you look at it, though, in full screen, you actually, you know, because this is not Google Maps and they're not blurring out people's license plates and cars and stuff, I mean, and faces, it's just amazing to see them, all these people and their dress, right? Like how they're dressed and... And then you kind of start daydreaming about where they're going, what they're doing. And I'm watching all these people cross Market Street. And, you know,
in 1906.
Yeah. And and it's a huge street, you know, and they've got trolley cars and obviously some of the first Model A's or Model T's or whatever they are. And then there's horse and buggies everywhere. But you see like dads crossing the street holding their children, and they look at the camera as it's passing by or whatever. And it's like, kind of haunting to think about these people of the past, right? You're literally getting to see them and knowing that none of them exist anymore.
Right?
It's so weird.
And you'll start to notice when you start looking at some of these old videos that they're all dressed the same.
They are
dressed exactly the same.
Yeah. They're like clones.
so it gets kind of weird. But if it was just a one-off, I would say, but there's so many... even videos from back there, and you look at the San Francisco Palace of Fine Arts and its history, and you realize that certain things don't make sense. And the only reason I bring that up is because it's so close.
Yeah.
San Francisco is so close.
Well, it's really cool, too, is they have so many signs out on the buildings, right? It'd be really fascinating just to go down Market Street and capture some of the names of the businesses and try to Google and figure out, you know, who were the business owners, what were the businesses,
mm-hmm.
you know? We just, moving into the building that we're in, the old Boardmart building, we were given a gift by the previous owners. I guess it's just been handed down, these pictures or whatever. And I don't know if it's from the Reading Historical Society and stuff, but they're old pictures of mm-hmm. what our building used to be. And at one point in 1940-something, it was the largest sporting goods store north of Sacramento.
Really?
Right? But the picture of the building is, obviously you can see the upper structure of the building is the same, but that building's front used to be completely different.
Hmm.
And it used to have a drive-through tunnel on the side of it, and it says refrigerated. So I don't know if it was like you drove through to get refrigerated goods, you drove through to get ice, but there was on the side of the building that there's an empty lot now, there was a place that you could drive your car through, and it says refrigerated. And then the front was completely different, and it actually on the second store or the second floor, it had balconies that the people that lived up there could look out onto the street. It's really cool.
Hmm.
It's amazing how a building can change so much.
Right.
You know?
And its inhabitants.
Yeah, right. And then on the other side of it where the hotel is now, it used to be a cafe. You could see it in the picture. So, yeah.
Before Starbucks.
Yeah. And then when you see the pictures of the inside when it was a sporting goods store, you can see all the knotty pine that we took down was because they told us it was 115 years old, the pine that was on the walls. And you could see the whole store was lined with that knotty pine. Then in the picture, even though it's in black and white, it looks brand new.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like it's not aged yet.
That's cool. So anyway, so one of the things I've been getting into is researching the actual history of California, the alternative history to California, because mm-hmm. certain things just didn't make sense to yeah. me when you look at them.
Yeah.
And you start to wake up a little bit.
Well, I guess if you're born and raised here, you just believe whatever you hear or see.
Of course.
Yeah, right?
And that's not to criticize anybody. But if you want something to do and you can look with open eyes, right,
mm-hmm.
and just let yourself just common sense look at it. YouTube it.
Yeah.
San Francisco Market Street, 1906, and you'll see it. And just look at the video and just ask yourself some questions. How did, 20,000, 30,000 people build that city in that amount of time without power tools and, trucks and cranes and all that kind of stuff? Or did they have them?
Yeah.
So
it's time to take another break. This will be this is the second half, third half, whatever.
Wow, it's already 8:45.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. We'll be right back.
Bye.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good morning.
Good morning.
California Adventure District Radio Show on a rainy Saturday morning.
Yeah.
This is what we call...
Batten down the hatches.
Yeah. This is what we call an English summer.
Oh, really? Oh, I was like, really? Yeah, right? I've heard that.
In England, this would be cool. This is beach weather, mate.
Right? It's weird, though. The storms I've so far been... I'm assuming they're probably Pacific storms coming from the Hawaiian area because they're very warm. So far.
Yeah.
But I heard when you told me about that, I went and looked online and it said that at the end of the storm, it's supposed to cool down a bit and we're supposed to start getting snow laying down in the upper elevations.
Yeah. So.
Which is what we really, really, really. I mean, we need the rain, obviously, the water, the liquid water, but we really need a great snowpack to carry us through the summer.
That's right.
It's so weird to look up at Mount Shasta and Mount Lassen and they're brown.
Yep. Well, not anymore. I think this is going to change as of today. So, again, if you're just joining us, not usually an alarmist at all, but from what I understand, the storm that's coming through.
Well, I appreciate it because I need to do some work
around
the
house. Is going to be massive. Starting tonight.
A doozy. So, what's the deal with you? You have a. I'm sitting here under your little book. You have a travel and leisure magazine. Are you going on a trip?
No.
Are you just boning up on tourism?
But, well, in California Adventure District, I got to kind of know what I'm talking about. And this has been an interesting year for travel and tourism,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And, the word benefit in this climate is not really a good word because it's kind of a strange year.
Mm-hmm.
But our area has benefited from...
From
what's going on in the world, we have a lot of visitors, we have a lot of flights, we have a lot of people coming, and so I actually think our area is poised to have a good season.
That's how the world works, though. Oh, one right. person's tragedy is another person's benefit. Unfortunately,
that's right. So we are in a good spot. However, I do have. One eye open on all those container ships that are, there's about 100 of them now, that are moored off of the Port of LA that are not coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't really know what our economic future looks like, but for this region, I would say if we kind of started to that whole notion of living off the grid, mm. right, that we touched upon a few weeks ago, I think heading into a season where we teach our kids that food is actually grown outside and not in a grocery store.
Sure.
Right.
So what is your theory or thought of these ships hanging out there? Do you think that's a man-made?
Well, it's, I mean, you know.
Because I'm like, I mean, I don't understand why they just don't bring them in and unload them. isn't that the point?
Yeah. Well, apparently it's quote-unquote a complex. So obviously it's a man-made issue. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, sure, for sure.
It doesn't matter
sure.
what the reasons are or who's doing what. But the fact that there's 100 ships, cargo ships, not coming into the LA harbor, whatever the reason is, yes, it's a man-made issue.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah. No, I get that.
And under normal circumstances, you know.
But man-made accident versus man-made evil.
Well, that's
or
a,
both.
That's a topic. That's another topic for another day. But that being said, I believe our area, mm-hmm. our entire Northern California area, is if we actually started to support our local farmers, our local farmers markets, our mm-hmm. local manufacturers, our local economy, our local businesses, now would be the time to do that. And I think
sure.
if we did that, quote-unquote, properly as a community, I think we can get through what's coming. Because I think what's coming from an economic standpoint over the next year and a half, 2 years, is not good.
Mm-hmm.
That's my sense.
Yeah.
But I think out of all the places you could be, especially in California, there's no doubt that we are in the best spot to be, right?
Sure.
In all of California.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if that makes sense.
My head just went like I went into catastrophic mode.
No, I don't think it's going to be catastrophic at all, but I do think there's obviously stuff going on that's not good.
Yeah.
Right? One way or the other. And you know, but I think there's a reason for us being here, and I think in Northern California, in Shasta County, in Humboldt County, in Trinity, Siskiyou, I think we are actually, as far as geography is concerned, I think we're in a very good spot.
Good.
We just need to learn how to take advantage of it.
Use it, yeah. Yeah. Use the tools that are around right. us, yeah. We might have to be doing a lot more forest bathing.
A lot more forest bathing.
Yeah.
right. right. And I'm not quite sure if the trees count as nutrition, but, you know.
Yeah.
But we'll get there.
What was it? Air, right? Their what was the term that he used? Their expectorant or whatever they put
yeah.
out the different chemicals within that, right?
That's right.
That's a source of some form of a nutrition.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting when you get into it because you realize even though you realize that we actually live in water. For a large part, because our bodies are 70% water,
yeah.
and we need humidity to survive. So we always say air, right?
Yeah.
We always have it. We need a certain humidity level. So there's water in the air. So we
yeah, lots of it.
And so we just need
more in the south.
That's right. But anyway, that being said, I think our region, our area, is a good spot to be. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I would agree. Yeah. So my wife had, I told you this, she may come on the show.
Yep.
You know, she's decided, to further her education, at this point in her time in life, which I'm very proud of her to do, but she has, joined.
She's 23?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Much younger than I am. she's decided to go back to school. I mean, obviously she's working and she does have so much to do at Enjoy and all the things there, but she also works for the Olivera's Honey Bee Company in Orland. And she loves that. And, part of that, experience between Enjoy here and then obviously the beekeeping, she's been called to the kind of exploration tourism sector, you know, right? in her world that she's in with the bees, it's a lot of what we would call agritourism, right? As an apiary company that she works for, they have a large apiary down in Orland, they have one in Montana, and they have a huge one in Hawaii. And so, you know, people travel the different locations to see the beekeeping and stuff. They get a lot of people coming from other countries that are interested in knowing how their organization works, obviously to help educate and propagate bee survival and colonies all over the planet. But it led her to want to go back to school, and so she is in her second semester at University of Colorado getting her master's degree in tourism. Mm-hmm. And so she said she'd love to come onto the show some point and talk about...
Maybe we'll have her on next week, because agritourism is going to be the next big thing, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And listening to her, because she's in the living room doing her courses... listening to everything that's going on, it's really very intense. I mean, I would have never really pegged tourism to be that difficult of a major.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, wow, I mean, it is beating her up. It is a lot of work and very interesting, the diversity and the courses and the studies. I mean, I'm completely blown away how deep it really goes and how wide it is.
Well, one of the reasons why I think our region is poised to do well is tourism, and people underestimate tourism. It's very easy to say, well, we don't want visitors here, or we do want visitors here, whatever that looks like. The opinions that it doesn't really matter, but the mechanisms involved in tourism is huge. It's a huge tentacle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So from the moment somebody thinks about booking a trip, you know yourself, the moment you start booking a trip, all of a sudden airlines, airports,
car rentals,
restaurants and retail and tickets and yada, yada, the whole nine yards,
yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the family's in town and something happens, they need to go buy Band-Aids. It goes, where's the CVS? Silly little things like that. But tourism actually affects the entire community. And it's, mm-hmm. and for our region, I believe, tourism,
and the word tourism obviously has got a definition as purposeful, but it's multidimensional.
That's right.
Right. Like it goes very shallow, which most people, when they hear tourism, that's their thought. It's very one dimensional, but tourism can go very, very deep and have very profound effects on communities, way beyond the typical word tourism, where, you know, you get in a car, you get in a plane, fly somewhere and go look at the Sundial Bridge. I mean, that's what people think.
So on a serious note, I know that, that we are in a season where a lot of people have lost their jobs or are no longer employed and are looking for things to do, right? And if you have any kind of entrepreneurial bone in your body, anything related to tourism, if you do it well, maybe get together with a bunch of friends who are in a different season, and you do something geared towards visitors, right? Mm-hmm. Or people who just moved here or whatever. Anything in the tourism-related field. And I think you can make it work.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Especially in our area with all these flights coming in. We have so many flights coming in to Reading and Arcata, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we underestimate the power of the two of us. But between the two airports in our region, we have a lot of people coming, right? So it could be something as simple as a new bakery.
Right?
Ha-ha. Right. Do you have a bakery coming in?
Hopefully.
Right?
Yeah.
A new restaurant, right?
Yep.
Whatever it is, anything... Anything that has any kind of tourism flavor, I think you'll be okay, right?
Yeah. Especially, yeah.
That's my opinion.
Well, that's what that's seems to be the trend here in Reading. I mean, it's always been go, stop, go, stop, go, stop, but now it's like the tap is on, right? And it's flowing. So, you know, my thing is there are a lot of people that, I guess, get annoyed with tourism and tourists and all those things, but the bottom line is it you can't stop it, and it's happening.
Well, you need it.
Well, and you need it, but then, you know, don't complain about it. Let's figure out how to use it and how to use it in a positive way, right?
That's
get behind helping to mold it so
there
that it's working for you and not the other way around.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. We're at the end of show number 23 or something.
Show 24. No, that's the date, the 23rd.
And we'll see you next week.
Bye.